Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
There's like one Rammstein song I've heard, I forget where, so it doesn't even matter now anymore. But anyway, this is episode 82 of the Web Comic Beacon. I'm Fess of fessandernst.com. Wait, that's my old URL.
Yeah, whatever. You want to get the new one?
Nah, it all goes to the same place. And I am joined by my two hosts, Tanya O'Higgins. Tanya Higgins of betapone.com.
Hello, hello.
And Mark Savory of autumnlake.com.
Bienvenue.
No. Hello and welcome to episode 82. I've already said that, but we are hosted on the Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com, a webcomics community for webcomics. And I just woke up not but 10 minutes ago because I am totally not on the ball today. But this week we are going to talk about multilingualizing your webcomic. Why multilingualize?
That's not even a word.
Yeah. Hey, if Shakespeare can make up words, you can too. Here's how to order. No. And this week we have three extra guests with us. Well, three guests with us today. In the order that I added them, we have. Okay, hang on. Let me get that. Arnie Schulenberg. Of Union of Heroes.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the show. Is it unionofheroes.com for English speakers?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. And we also have David of Zapano-Online.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the show. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, awesome. And Sarah Bruni of...
I have a new one.
Wait, I was looking for the English version. It's not there anymore. It's
I have a new RRL, which
URL.
Is URL. Thank you.
Damn.
It's lifeaintnoponyfarm.com.
I'm in love with your URL. That's hilarious.
It's okay. Actually a German saying.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, then.
All right. And the one thing that we mainly have in common is that these webcomics all have English and German versions of themselves available for readers. I was going to say listeners, but for readers. Of course, we are in no way saying that you should limit yourselves to just German and English. By all means. Have other languages as well. But it just happened to work out this week. And I'm going to start off by... let's start with Arnie here. You have the webcomic. Am I saying Arnie right?
It's Arn, please. Not Arnie.
Sorry.
Not with the E at the end, but without the E. Yeah.
All right.
Otherwise, it sounds like Arnie and Bert.
Right.
All right, Arn. You have a webcomic, Union Heroes. It's a photo comic. Would you like to basically give us a synopsis?
Union of Heroes is a photo comic about a group of German superheroes, which is a niche, because there are no real superhero stories from Germany, and we are doing the first one, and we do it in photo comic form. And it's about a young guy from Dortmund who studies here something, and he comes from our reality, and one day a mysterious guy appears in his kitchen and invites him to join him on a journey to a parallel world. And this parallel world, the difference between the two worlds is that on this world there are actually superheroes. Everything else is the same. And he is now invited to join the other world and to become a superhero there because his alter ego has gone missing. And now he is the new Erzengel and has to live up the way superheroes live and to learn how to fight and to learn how to behave as a superhero and all this stuff. And the reader can join him on this journey and see how he develops and how he becomes a true hero.
Are we talking about the character with the arm blade thing?
Yeah, okay. Right. That's Mark, the Erzengel.
Awesome. And, okay, let's see here. When you started Union of Heroes, did you start with the intent of making it a bilingual comic?
Yes, of course. Because when you start such a project with such an amount of work behind it and you focus to publish it only in German, it would be a waste of energy and a waste of resources, because in Germany web comics aren't that big, and if you want to achieve something with your web comic and you don't do a funny comic, you have to do it bilingual, by my point of view.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
that makes sense. So, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, so you're saying that there's not many German superhero stories in Germany. Are you saying that, like in America, I mean, there's a buttload of superhero comics and everything. Are you saying that superhero comics in general are scarce in Germany, or specifically of German heroes that they're scarce?
Well, the only superheroes we have here are also the American or the English or the Japanese superheroes. So we have Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, etc.,
right,
and all the Marvel stuff. But no German comic creator really does superhero stuff.
Ah, okay.
We don't really have stories of our own, and that was something I really wanted to change, because the locations and the possibilities to tell stories in Germany are there, and nobody really uses them. And that was something I wanted to change.
Well, very cool.
And it's up to date. It's really fun to do it, because so far most of the people who have read it really liked it and enjoy reading it, and it's really fun creating it together with the actors and the photographer, and I really hope that I can do this for a very, very, very long time.
Well, I hope so too. And I've been catching. I started to read it a while ago when somebody brought it up. It took me a little while to get into it, as I do. But now I was like, hey, this is actually pretty cool. So that's awesome, and people can check that out. UnionofHeroes.com. And you can, at the bottom right of the comic, if you want to read it in German or English. Well, I would think that most English listeners are listening. Obviously, there's like a German flag and a British flag, and well, that should be obvious of what to do.
And we are currently working on a third language, so in a couple of months there will be a third flag. So we will be not only a bilingual webcomic, but a trilingual. Or
Jesus.
However you pronounce it then.
Yeah, good.
can I ask which language? Is it French?
It will be... it's a kind of family project. My wife comes from Georgia, and so we will produce the first Georgian webcomic ever.
Ooh.
And
wow.
it will bring us maybe 1,000 readers or something, because there are not so many Georgians around, and nearly anybody apart from the Georgians can read the Georgian type, the Georgian language.
Interesting.
But it will be fun to see it finally, and then my parents-in-law can finally understand what I'm doing over here.
Maybe I'm not hearing which country this is right.
Georgia in Russia, Fess, not okay. Georgia in America.
I know, I was just thinking Georgia. Right. Georgia is American.
I don't know how the Georgian accent is in, like, the American Georgia. Would it be a different language? Like
I guarantee.
Okay. All right. That'll be cool. moving on.
You'll have to forgive Fess. He's an American, and we don't know anything about geography.
I would know.
I was just wanted to make sure I was hearing that right, because okay, all right. All right, let's move on to David. Mind if I call you David? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
All right. I forgot to start the talk show recording, so I will just start that in just a second.
Talk show recorded.
Okay, cool. Okay, so David, you have Zampano-Online.
Zampano.
Okay.
You keep saying Sopranos or something. Actually, I got to tell you, we're going to have some Mafia comic coming up like in a few months. So
wow, really? It's totally exciting for me. Sorry.
It's all right.
Go on.
Okay. Presently, you only have a link to your German site.
Yeah. My situation is a little strange one because I just moved back to Switzerland last year. I used to live in the States for 17 years and actually wrote all the stuff in English.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really started working on a comics now, and it sort of went into German, and it's going back to my editor, like I think in Florida or so, wherever he lives now. And he's going to like look at all the English stuff again. And next month we're going to start with an English site.
All right, cool. And you also have a flag up here, I believe, for French, correct?
Yes. Actually, we're working also on a translation. I got a couple of translators in France because France is just like the biggest comic market in Europe. I mean, they're a little bit behind in the webcomic development just because Europe is behind, about 5 years behind the United States. But France is just an unbelievable comic book market. I mean, if you go, for example, to the Angoulême Comic Book Festival, which is usually in January, there's a 250,000 people. I mean, the town is so packed, you can't even walk down the streets anymore. It's just unbelievable. And I think, you know, considering the fact that we're putting out basically graphic novels that we're also going to put out as print versions at some point, I mean, mm-hmm. this is a gigantic market for us.
Wow. In France, since you say it's so big, do they have like a lot of their own stuff, or is it like a lot of import stuff? Or tell us about the comic situation there.
The comic situation in France is actually very interesting because the common understanding is that the French are pretty nationalistic and they don't really like Americans and so on, which actually really quite is not true. I would say in terms of percentages, about 40% of the French market are at this point manga, which is doing fantastic. There's about 20 to 25% is about, I would say, American comics or British comics, just like the superhero stuff.
Right.
And the rest is just homemade graphic novels. I got to tell you, though, that a lot of those graphic novels they're doing themselves, selling about 500,000, you know, print run region. So you're talking some big print runs here.
Wow.
And you can also see the difference to other German to other countries in the number of comic shops. When you go to, for example, when you go to a town like Toulouse, which is maybe 300,000 inhabitants, in the same size of a town in Germany, you have maybe three comic shops, and then it's really a huge number of comic shops in a town. When you go to Toulouse, you have in the center of the town 8 shops, and that's amazing.
But Arne, you might want to mention too that. For the people that don't know that Germany, Switzerland, and Austria, so the German-speaking countries are total third world country for comics. I mean, yeah, I'm serious. Like, if you have a graphic novel, I was just talking to my distributor here basically about because we want to put out one of the first graphic novels, not just on POD, but actually going into stores. So I asked him just like to gauge the print runs a little bit and so on. He says, look, if you have something that's of real professional quality, if we can sell about 50 pieces in Switzerland, we can't be lucky. And if we sell another like 500-600 pieces in Germany, you're considered basically a success. So that's not good.
Wow.
Yeah, but basically, the little independent publishers, they basically don't print more than 200 copies from one of their comics. And they have difficulties selling them, so... Right. And we only have, in Germany, we only have one con a year, which means that we can't really travel around the country to sell the books ourselves, because there's only one con a year. which is really significant.
You think it's does it have, well, in the United States, I know a lot of people, they have a certain perception about comic books, you know, like they're kids' stuff or, you know, somehow inferior literature or something like that. Is that what it is? Is it content or no. Why do you think
it's? I think it has something to do with the German self-esteem.
And with the history.
Yeah, with the history, with the history of censorship, with the history of, German self-esteem. Even if you look at sports in some, I think it's sailing. It was told to me that sailing is a very, very German sport, mm-hmm. but the Germans can't manage to put up a team for the championship. Because they're just, they don't have the self-esteem, or it's...
So it's fear of losing prevents them from...
Yes, some kind of attitude which says, don't try to reach for your star, for a star, just try to be happy with what you have. Sometimes you can see that.
That's no excuse!
No,
true,
it's not.
True, true! No, that's... In Germany, it's also historical because we are missing two generations of comic readers. Because during the Second World War, comics mm-hmm. were in a way forbidden, and they were used from the Americans as propaganda tools. And all the American superheroes came to life during the Second World War and became very successful. And so. There was this generation not reading comics in Germany, and then the next generation who might have started together with the comics coming from America. There came this debate about horror comics being bad for the children. Mm. And how was he called, this guy?
The guy who made the censorship in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
the
problem was that this whole censorship debate was, in America, it was against EC horror comics. And it was transferred to Germany, and they transferred it to comics per se. Comics in general were suddenly bad for the children. And so there is a second generation missing who might have started reading it but didn't read comics. And so... we still suffer from these two generations who have not read comics at all and who also told their children that comics are bad. And so it's starting to develop here, but we are a few years behind.
So in America, where that push to censor those comics, where that started and it died out fairly quickly, there was a little bit of damage, but not a lot. Whereas you're saying in Germany, it really stuck, the censorship and the concern for what that does to children.
Yeah, and it was. There are some examples which are hilarious. It was Wortham, by the way, JC in the chat told the name. There are examples for censorship that they erased the weapons in Western comics. So you have German versions of Western comics where there is a cowboy and an Indian, and they have nothing in their hands, but there is a bang sound word, and someone falls down instead. Or
they even did that with Donald Duck comics.
Knights fighting without swords and something like that. It's
totally stupid. Oh, jeez, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nowadays, everybody wants to change the image of comics with the power of graphic novels. So people in Germany are trying to use this title, this name, to give
the
comics...
word graphic. You're saying they use the word graphic novels, graphic novels,
graphic
to separate
novel.
Itself from the word comics is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, they try to use to differ.
Differentiate.
Between comics and graphic novels. And graphic novels are clearly addressed to adults. This is the whole idea. And they're trying to to raise the image of comic books here by using that, but I don't know if they really gain a lot of readers by that. I don't know. It's just a very, very small industry, but I have to say that there are many very talented German cartoonists. It's not like that we don't have talent here. It's just that they don't sell anything.
All right. Well, we have to take a quick break here because I need to start a new recording. So when we come back, we'll talk more about graphic novels and France.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Awesome.
So there.
I have a reason to go to France now.
Oh. That'd be cool. It'd be cool to go to France.
I've never really wanted to go to France, which is odd because I took French in high school. Go figure.
Well, that's why you don't want to go to France.
Probably.
France would be cool. I wouldn't want to go, like, I don't know. There's parts of the world I just have no interest in, like India or someplace like that. I'm like,
lost the whole Indian reader, listenership.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a huge demographic for us, too.
Yeah, my comic gets so many people from India.
You know what?
Anymore.
You would be surprised. I actually have... It's one of the stronger countries, oddly enough, on my demographic is India.
I should check.
India, Korea is another big one for me. The Philippines do very well.
It's good to have Korean as friends right now.
Maybe yes and maybe no. I'm not sure. It depends.
Tanya, your site is enraging them. It's all your fault. You're not updated, and now they're testing missiles, and geez, it's your fault, Tanya.
They're so pissed off I haven't updated that Kim Jong is going to start blowing shit up.
Was that really racist? I have no idea. I don't know.
Was that
offensive?
It? What?
I don't know. It was that offensive or funny? I don't know.
I thought it was funny.
Okay. In any case,
wow.
France would be cool, though.
He goes the political.
Well, actually, I would like to visit Russia, Germany, and the UK as far as my three top.
Russia
companies.
Is a big place. You might want to narrow that down a little.
I'd have to take a look at it. It's somewhere in Russia.
Somewhere there. How about Siberia? You could try that.
No, I'll probably visit Moscow, you know, one of the bigger touristy places. You know, the ones where I won't particularly get too lost.
I don't think of touristy when I think of Russia. I'm sorry.
It's better. It's better than it was in the 80s when they just wouldn't let us in at all, and for good reason.
Chernobyl or something.
We had some issues.
Chernobyl and just see it.
What? Anyway, talking about France, David...
Yes.
I think we just kind of started talking to you, and then it just kind of got away from us. I wanted to talk about France a little bit.
Okay.
You were talking about the homegrown stuff there. Is it most when you said graphic novels? Are you talking about, like, you know, actually big, thicker books of comics versus just like the 24, 30 pages of comics that are usually like the monthlies?
Well, actually, how you have to imagine that is that the French books are all over format, and they're usually between, I would say, about 45 pages and maybe 150 pages. What's really big right now in France is sort of the collections, where they have like two or three graphic novels that are collected to another collection. They call this Integral, and it's sort of just like a bigger collection for a cheaper price, because as we know, the economy in France is not doing too well either. So if you get like three books for the price of two, you know, even if they've already been published, that's not too shabby. So a lot of stuff that's coming out in France that's doing really well is like fantasy stuff. they're actually doing a lot of sci-fi stuff, more so like quiet type of sci-fi stuff that's doing really, really well. That's some of the biggest hits right now. I mean, basically stuff you really can't sell anywhere else. It's quite amazing. And children's stuff. Actually, the most popular French artist right now is a Swiss guy from the southern part of Switzerland, the French part. And he's selling each book about 2-3 million copies right off the bat.
Well,
and that's more like a children's type of thing.
Wow. Sounds like there's a really good market there.
Yeah, there is. There is. There really. I mean, that's why I'm kind of like looking into like getting into the French market, because webcomics extremely underdeveloped. There is a domain called webcomics.fr, you know, the French domain.
Right.
You guys can check that out, and you'll see you're about, I would say, about 6-7 years behind the United States.
Connecting.
Wow. That. Gosh, I wish I had learned more French. I could write my comic in French and probably get more traffic, or at least.
Alrighty. Let's see. David, tell us. It looks like you have three different comics presently on the site. Well, obviously all in German right now. But can you tell us a little bit about each of them?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of doing webcomics was that I actually planned to do a print magazine, which I used to do about 15 years ago when I used to live in Switzerland. And everybody told me, don't do it because you're just going to bankrupt yourself because nobody's buying magazines anymore. And I had already experimented on the web with all kinds of stuff. And I wanted to do something that was a little more like, you know, for lack of a better word, like free-spirited, not as commercial as maybe some of the stuff I had done in the States. And like one of the comics, for example, is called I say the English title, it's called Endless Sky, which is a 240-page autobiography of my time in the United States. I've met some pretty wacky people and, you know, underwent some pretty hefty changes. Like, you know, I met my wife, you know, eventually donated a kidney to her and eventually saved her life that. So it just is pretty intense stuff. And I figured, you know, it'd be kind of cool, like Swiss guy going to the States, kind of making up Marvel and DC and meeting all those wacky people. So that's kind of like an offbeat kind of autobiographical comic. Then we got one collection is called Bakuba and Other African Stories, and that's a collection of all my African-themed stories. So very different in style, some very realistic, some kind of very avant-garde, offbeat, also kind of like challenging in terms of topics. So it's not really stuff that I can sell like big numbers if I just, you know, send it to a publisher.
Right.
And then I have a third project that's called Aïr. That's spelled with the AI, and that has the two dots on the I. It's like a French type of umlaut, as we Germans would say, which is a political story about the uprising of the Tuareg in North Africa. This is actually a war that's going on right now, and I'm trying to kind of like raise a little awareness for that because everybody's always talking about the Gaza Strip and Iraq and all that stuff. I'm getting like really old and tired. You know, you don't even pay attention to what's happening on television anymore these days. You're so desensitized. And I've always had like this interest in Africa, so I'm trying to kind of like do some personal projects. One of them actually that's coming up, you can see that on the left, I don't know if the banner shows up, it's kind of a rotating banner, is a Tell the superhero version of William Tell. And you know, it's actually interesting for Arne because you're not going to be the only German superhero webcomic anymore.
Finally,
yeah. That actually got a lot of attention in Switzerland because the way I'm treating it is not going to be a historical type of situation, but more like a sci-fi type of situation. Or because of all that's going on with the Swiss banks, you know, we're getting a lot of information here about all that stuff, and it's pretty disheartening. And there's a lot of cynicism going around in the population. And I figured, you know, it would be kind of cool if Tell was sort of a misused symbol of patriotism. Because Tell here is a really big deal, you know, as you can possibly imagine. And I just had like a huge banner at a convention. I handed out some flyers and I printed up some booklets of the stuff and people just went totally nuts. They're like, oh, we can't wait for this stuff. You know, Tell superhero looks really cool. You know, I'm going to go buy this. And this could actually even locally be a pretty good success.
William Tell is a superhero. I would not have guessed at all. Hey, we're talking about the same William Tell, right?
Yeah, we're talking about
okay.
Yeah, the literal character, the literature character.
Well, all righty. What are the expected time of arrivals for the additional languages?
Well, the thing is basically this, that everything is written in English, so that's not really a problem. It's just a matter of finish editing it and then, you know, putting the site together, which takes a couple of days. And the French thing, that may, I would say early August, first week of August. Because the, honestly, you know, traffic from Germany is just very, very slow.
Right.
I mean, considering the amount of like publicity that I've received with my site in the 2 months, I mean, we had like an article, a 3-page article in a Swiss newspaper with a print run of 2.5 million copies. You got to imagine 2.5 million. That's a lot for Switzerland. It's the biggest newspaper. We were in German in Sock magazine that has a print run of 5,000. It's the only actual German comic book magazine available on a newsstands. We got so much publicity. And traffic's really not that great. That's just because there's not that many people looking at comics on the internet in Germany. So I really have to get the English stuff out there, you know, to pump up traffic and just get more notoriety.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
And she's been talking for a while on the first segment, and this is Sarah.
Hey.
And you have Life Ain't No Pony Farm. Or
exactly.
Let me see if I can pronounce this. Das Leben ist kein Ponyhof.
Let's not.
Well, I don't even know. Was that close?
Almost.
Okay.
Das Leben ist kein Ponyhof.
Ponyhof. Okay.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
So much better when she says it.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to make that extension. So tell us a little bit about your comic.
Okay, well, actually, as I said before, Life Ain't No Pony Farm is a German saying which says, well, life ain't easy, as you probably have guessed.
Yeah.
And it's a semi-autobiographical comic strip, which is also very absurd because, well, it's about me living together with a talking elephant, a talking mushroom, and a cute pony. And, yeah, it's really about my absurd perception of reality.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, you would have guessed. And I'm trying to develop storylines, and I would like to do a longer story with Ngumbu, which is the name of the elephant Miles Davis' biggest fan.
Okay, so how did you come about to start this webcomic? Since it's autobiographical,
Yeah, it wasn't autobiographical first. I started it like 3 years ago, but not as a webcomic. I was trying to make it into print, but there was an independent publisher, or there still is an independent publisher who would like to do the stuff, but I changed my style too often, so it's... It's all my fault. I changed it too often, and I changed the format. And right now, and I wasn't very. I was a bit not motivated, or how can I say it? I really loved the idea of making the comic, but then I didn't like to work, and nobody would see it. So this is a. For a long time, so this is a very different experience. I put up a comic every week, and I get traffic. People comment on it. People seem to like it, and it's really the one motivation I needed all the time.
Ah.
So yeah, I'm really very enthusiastic right now. Yes, and I hope I'll try to take baby steps, and I'll try to start storylines. And then I would like to do that longer story, but yeah, slowly.
Slowly.
Yeah.
let's see. So basically, you said you started this like 3 years ago, but is the webcomic right now, is it basically all new content?
Yes, it's a totally new content. All the comics I did before, like 3 years ago, went on a different comic site, a German comic site, which is called Comic Gate, and it publishes reviews and articles and webcomics, and I got the chance to publish all the old stuff or semi-old stuff there, and this kind of inspired me. And when I went to the US last year and this year, I went to Portland and I did kind of an internship in Periscope Studio. And there I met Dylan McConis and Erica Moen. I don't know if you know them. They do wonderful webcomics, and they actually inspired me a lot. They kicked me in the ass to start my own webcomic. And it's just, it's because of the US I started it. It's just because I met so many people, also like Spike Trotman from Templar, Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Spike
is awesome.
Yeah, she is a total entertainer. She's really cool.
Absolutely.
So
there's a webcomic scene. People are doing webcomics. They get reviews. There's really an industry, and I thought it's just the one thing I need as a motivation for me.
Yeah, especially having the WordPress site where you can where you can get that feedback, get those comments. Immediate satisfaction or disgruntlement, depending on what they say. Let's see. So when you started the webcomic, did you originally have the intent to make an English version all along, or did that kind of come after?
Oh, I think we lost her.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Sarah, if you're talking, we can't hear you right now, and if you can hear us.
Yeah, looks like the call dropped.
Let me take a... Oh.
Fetch her back.
Now I gotta edit the show. Darn it!
Wasn't me.
Let's see here. Oh, Sarah dropped. We lost her. Well, I'll keep trying. So, as far as English and German, between you guys, wait, is Germany a bilingual country, or is it? Or what's the situation? Is the second language encouraged in Germany?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Well, it actually is in Switzerland a little more because we already have four languages here.
Oh, jeez. So,
we got Italian in the south, and we got French in the west, and we have a fourth language, as I'm German, of course, and then a fourth language, which is a mix between all three other ones that they speak in the mountains. Not a lot of speak it actually anymore, but the news, they still have to, at least for 15 minutes a day, speak that language by law, so the language will not totally die out.
Interesting.
There's a lot of like people learn English now. It's required to learn English in Switzerland in grade school. Mm-hmm. So a lot of younger kids here, even locally, they speak perfect English.
Do you guys find when you're converting from one language to another, does that... Do you have any problems with space in the word balloons or the panel layouts or anything like that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Sorry. Go ahead, David.
Sorry, Arne. You want to answer first?
I keep silent now.
I'm sorry, what was the question? Who's answering? What's going on, huh?
Okay.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, now you go, and then we'll come back to her.
Okay.
Or go to Arne, and then we'll go to her. Go ahead.
Well, I have some troubles in translating those speech bubbles, because sometimes the English version is quite shorter than the German one.
Okay.
And most of the time I also resize the bubble so that it looks good again.
Right.
Sometimes I skip it and think, oh, well, let's keep the bubble big and the speech less big, and then it's okay too. But the biggest problem will be the Georgian version, because there it is a different typeface, and so I don't know where to cut between the words, and then I have to resize it, almost everything. It's I can only say if you do a bilingual comic, try to do it in the same typefaces and don't choose a language with a different kind of font or typeface, because then it's getting horrible.
Oh,
so Georgian is like Cyrillic, right? Like similar to Russian?
In a way, but it's different from Cyrillic. It's a language and a typeface on its own. They have nothing to do with any other language in the world, in a way. And it looks very interesting. It's a very nice font, but you can't compare it really to any other font you know.
Oh, well. It's a learning process.
You will see it in the future, and it will be fun.
Awesome. There's one thing I wanted to ask. Let's see here. What was it? Shoot! Ah! Okay. In Germany, you don't actually call yourselves Germany, right?
No.
It's Deutschland, correct?
Deutschland, yes.
Okay.
And we are Deutsch.
Yeah, and you speak Deutsch.
Exactly.
Correct.
I just don't understand why other countries have to like change the name of everything.
What is wrong with you?
It's a proper name. Why are they changing it? You know,
I think it comes from the Germanics, the Germanic tribe. So it's understandable.
See, it's not just sense. Geography, it's history too. You just this
yeah, I would guess. I think so. I'm not really sure.
Oh. Shouldn't you know this stuff?
Fess slept through a lot of classes here, apparently.
We really shouldn't
expect every other country to refer to themselves by the English, let alone just you know.
Are you going to ask if they celebrated the 4th of July, too?
No, I just like bringing it up as like an awareness type of thing, because I think it's ridiculous that we have to go and change everyone else's proper names. It's like translating somebody's like first name into something that they can pronounce because they're too lazy to learn how to say it correctly.
Well, but we did that, too. I mean, America did that, too. When
that's what I'm criticizing, America.
We did it when people came through Ellis Isle. We made them change their name to
That's
something
terrible.
That didn't sound so foreign. We just didn't really like that.
That's
so, yeah,
terrible.
We have issues.
And it's still Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But it's very funny.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
To catch on to the sarcasm there, Fess. It's all good.
What? Really?
That's one interesting thing, because sarcasm and irony, I think in Germany and English, they have the same spirit. They have, because when I would when I talk with my Italian family or friends, they don't really understand irony and sarcasm. It's really a different humor. So
yeah.
Well, doesn't it also have to do with? I mean, irony and sarcasm. Doesn't that? No, I guess not. I was saying maybe it has to how you present it has to differ a bit between languages and cultures. because of obviously with sarcasm, a lot with verbal sarcasm, you have different inflections, different stresses, mm-hmm. and sometimes that can mean different things in different languages, of course, as well yeah. As word definitions and word meanings. Especially when translating, a lot of sayings are not going to translate well.
You would be especially hosed in Mandarin, where so much of it is tonal, yes. where so many of the words are tonal, and just the pitch changes the entire definition of the word. You try to pull off sarcasm, and you wind up insulting someone's mother. You need to just not. It's a lot easier. Just go forward with it. Don't be a smartass. You're going to screw something up.
Let's start at the top with Oren again for this next segment. Who does the translation for you? Is it yourself or do you have somebody?
I started having somebody, then I skipped starting to translate it by myself, and currently I'm reworking the translation with the help of two of my colleagues from the Webcomic Planet Collective. So hopefully in a few weeks we will have a completely new translated English version up to the page where I start translating it on my own again.
Okay.
But yeah, we are currently working on a new translation.
Okay. Have you gotten a lot of comments or feedback about the earlier stuff? It's like, hey, this doesn't kind of really make a whole lot of sense, or this could be... Did you get a lot of people with suggestions or corrections that sparked this?
No, not a lot. There are some... in fact, I only get a few comments that sometimes the English sounds a little bit off. Mm-hmm. And these few comments already are enough for me to rework it and to change it, because I want to deliver the best solution possible.
Right.
And but up to date, it were only a few complaints, but that's enough for me.
Awesome. David, are you? I'm assuming you're doing most of the translations yourself then?
Well, in English, yeah, I'm doing most of the writing myself, but I have an editor in Florida and who I've been working with for a long while, and I think it's very important that the translation is really airtight, mm-hmm. because, I mean, if especially in France, it is even more important so, because they will not accept lousy language. They're very much in the literature. But we have proposed some stuff to publishers that was shut down just because the translation wasn't really that great. And I think it's very important that a native-speaking person, like somebody in France, looks at the stuff and makes sure that it's really airtight so we can appeal to the local public there. Otherwise, actually, I'm getting a lot of flack for my German version, I got to be honest. Because I have too many English words in there and too many English weird syntax problems, just because I've been speaking English for so long now, and without having lived here for a while, it's become a real problem.
Okay, so for the French version, am I correct in assuming that the French language itself, if I'm remembering right, is a very precise. I mean, even when I think I've heard when new words are even introduced, that there's like a committee that has to look at the words and make sure they sound French enough or something like that. Is that correct or is that a misconception?
Yeah, I suppose I wouldn't know exactly, okay. But I suppose you're right, because I mean they're very particular in a way they're doing stuff. I mean, it gives you like an idea. It doesn't really like relate to a language, but when we were in Angoulême, I was hanging out with my friends there, and we're about a group of maybe 10 people. And after the show closed, whatever, 5-6 o'clock, there was about a half hour discussion if we were going to drink something first or we're going to eat something first. And they could just go on endlessly about that. Half of them wanted to drink, the other half wanted to eat. And they would just discuss that back and forth for half an hour until I put my foot down and said, "You guys, let's just go get something to eat. We're all hungry."
Wow, I don't think I think I'd eventually do that too. It's like or just go home. You know, it's correct. But that's me. Okay, only I found that funny. Anyway, Sarah,
you lost Sarah again.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah.
That's a great song. We should cue that in.
What? There's a song called Oh, Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay, let me write this down. Let me see if I can find it.
Isn't it Journey? Who does Oh, Sarah?
I don't know. Well, she's offline. So I guess we can't talk to her. I'll keep trying. In any case, well, actually, I think we kind of already answered it. I was basically going to go into asking about how you should go about translating your comic, but it was pretty much answered already.
Well, I think the important point to be made here is that that goes for any comic, basically. I mean, technically, I suppose for webcomics it's a little different because most people just do this stuff on their own. But I would really recommend getting an outside editor involved, especially if you do a book collection or you go to print.
Right.
I mean, that's even for English-speaking people that do English comics. I mean, there's tons of typos left and right on webcomics. And if you really want to be professional, I guess you should have an editor involved. And with another language, it's no different, basically. It's just more important there because, like, even for me, English is not my first language. My first language is Swiss German, which is even different than High German, which causes even more problems. But so I can't really trust myself. I need an editor for every single language I'm writing in. Otherwise, I'm screwed.
Yeah. In a way, it's the same for me. But problem is that publishing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I can't send the comic to an editor before putting it online. But I put the wrong version online and then hope that somebody... works as an editor for me later, and then I have to rework everything. But I can only second what David said. Always use someone who rereads everything.
Well, what I do basically is exactly, Arne, I have the same problem like you, you know, because yeah. I'm updating every single weekday, so that's 5 days a week. And I don't have time to wait for somebody to get back to me. True. But what I do is I do it as good as I can. And then at the end of each chapter, which is usually about 20 pages of each graphic novel or 10 pages or whatever, I'll send the whole batch over to the editor. He'll correct everything. We'll discuss it. And then I'll re-upload the stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Very important to maintain those original files.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. But I think that is pretty much it as far as – unless there's anything else that you guys think that you can add – I think we pretty much nailed this topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like an abstract topic. It's not that creative if you really think about it. I mean, we're not talking about storylines or artwork particularly. It's just simply about the fact that you can work in multiple languages.
Yeah.
I suppose the thing that I would add is just that, I mean, we're living in a global world. It's a one-world world, so to speak. And I think in the long run, you know, having multiple languages will pay off for anybody. I mean, a lot of webcomics have been translated by fans. I suppose Megatokyo, what is it called? Megatokyo, the manga, has been translated in about like 10 languages by fans.
And that still doesn't make it any good.
What?
Real life, something positive.
Yeah.
Sabrina, I think a furry comic. There are translations in German too.
Sabrina Online, yeah.
Now, something positive is that's translated by a fan, isn't it?
Yes,
I think so, but I don't really know who it is.
Yeah, but see, that's dangerous. You know, you start handing out stuff to fans, and they'll do whatever they'll do, and you'll never find out what they actually did because you don't speak the language.
Yeah, you get like some really offensive and racist version, and you have no idea. And then you have you have a whole country that hates you, and you don't know why.
there's
a word for Jerry Lewis, another foreign language. Person who knows the language tells you.
Yeah.
Right.
Eventually a real fan gives you an email and says, hey, what the heck? Yeah.
I remember another fan translation in German is from... no, I don't remember. Sorry. There is this fantasy comic, Phoenix Requiem. Yeah, Phoenix Requiem is also translated in German.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And the one she did before. She has quite a few translations, I remember.
I've actually wondered why more American comics don't translate to Spanish. seeing how much of our population, you know, consists of native Spanish speakers, right. it would make sense.
It would make sense, but there's probably politics there and whatever, why people...
Yeah, screw the politics. I want readers. Anybody else there wants to translate my comic into Spanish?
Exactly.
Mine too. I want a fourth language, and Spanish would be the one.
We should... that was another thing I wanted to bring up. There's got to be some people out there that, I mean, either... if they could do it for free, but like maybe if there's like a translating service, like a group of people with that know multiple languages got together and for X, it can be a lucrative service, actually, you know, if you charge X amount per strip to translate, of course, then you have to make sure that it's, you know, good. A good translation, if you're going to be paying for it, of course. And then,
I hear they don't work on the weekend at the UN. Maybe you could get some translators there.
Just hire a UN translator for the weekend. That's nice.
That'd be really cool, and it could be very lucrative for these people if you get like a lot of webcomicers, especially if the price is right. You could, crank out good translations for several people at a time, and even hire more staff to translate. You know, I'm putting the idea out there for someone to take it and go with it. And if anybody knows of a service like that, let us know at the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Let's see here.
Si.
Yeah.
Si. Yo quiero. It would be good. I only have useless Spanish phrases.
¿Dónde está el baño?
No habla.
That's the only one I know.
El elefante es gris y grande. The elephant is gray and large, which is useless. I also have no, pero no, el pollo es muerto, which is no, doggy, no, the chicken is dead. That's all I got. And yo quiero, I want. That's it.
Yo quiero Taco Bell. Okay, that's racist. No, I'm just kidding. No, there's like some people that are like, why is the dog Mexican? Are you trying to say things about Mexican people that they're dogs? It's like, whoa, wow, you really got to, what? No, what? Calm down.
Maybe if they were furries.
Oh, jeez. No, the first thing about the elephant, you could use that for Sarah. she could use it. Like every time the elephant's in there, just use that line.
Just el elefante es gris y grande. That's all we got.
Oh! Have you? Is anybody familiar with Eddie Izzard? Is anyone familiar with Eddie Izzard?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
I adore Eddie Izzard.
Dress to Kill is my favorite stand-up that I've seen of his. And he does part of it in French, especially at the end. He does part of the thing, what he was talking about, learning about French, and talking about he learned like the French versions for the mouse is under the table, the cat is on the chair, and the monkey is in the trees or is hanging on the branch or let's see, le sou sur la branche or something like that. And it was really funny stuff. And he's basically saying you can never use these lines in any typical conversation in France, and the joke is really funny, even if you don't know French, because he's acting out everything and it's hilarious. And then he ended up saying the only way you could actually use that use those phrases in French if he took a chair, a table, a cat, a mouse, and a monkey to France and walked around wooded areas.
Yeah,
it's a great scene if you could ever see it. But we're in the last part of our show, and I gotta bring up a couple of things. First off, milestones for this week on the Webcomic Beacon. For the Webcomic Beacon is reporting. Here it is. We have hitting 100 pages. Is featuring talking guinea pigs, and that is at joegp.com, joegp.com, and you have guessed it, yes, it features talking guinea pigs.
Wow.
About that.
Also, A Matter of Fact has hit 200 strips at mofcomic.com, and Jump Leads has hit 2 years at jump-leads.com. If you have a milestone that's 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, or 1,000 Sal's 2000, etc., or on the year mark or something like that, let us know at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
What about Luke's Earl?
I'm sorry, what?
LukeSearle.com has hit a year. Luke Searle's comic has
hit
a year.
Well, it wasn't reported to us until now, so there's also
Luke Searle. Got you back, Fess. I got you back, man.
All right, awesome.
Got you covered.
Also, this week we are advertisers on the webcomicbeacon.com of our Project Wonderful ads, which we announce who's advertising on our site each time we do a live broadcast on Sundays at about 3 p.m. Eastern, -5 GMT, recognizing daylight savings time. We have on our leaderboard Yosh of YoshSaga.com, who also has our tower ad for YoshSaga.com. And the top banner says, because sometimes one ad isn't enough. So please visit Yosh at YoshSaga.com because they are doubly advertising with us. Also, we have a banner ad that's at the bottom, near the bottom of the homepage, but it's at the bottom of every single individual post, and that is for girl, for GypsyGirlPress.com. That is with John Peters, and it's essentially a hub site for his many different works, completed stories and ongoing web comics. We've had him on the show briefly once before. From mm-hmm. Which convention was that?
I think it was from Opus.
From the Opus convention, which Tanya was at. Some field reporting of Tanya.
So anytime you want John Peters on, I can con him into it. He's amazing. I wish he would do a webcast of him drawing. It's sadly easy for him. It's depressingly easy for him.
Well, all right, then. We'll have to reapproach that at another time. Wait, you're supposed to be getting other people on the show, damn it.
I'm getting there. I'm trying.
Okay,
people are busy, and it's still kind of like the end of con season.
Right.
People are kind of gearing up for San Diego and Kineticon, so it's kind of a rough time for some of the big guys.
But oh, well.
I'm working on it.
That's okay.
It's funny. We're like the Justice League, and Tanya is like Wonder Woman, and she's the secretary.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Thanks,
like
jackass.
Like the old Justice League.
Yeah, I love that.
She was actually a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah. She
terrible.
Answered the phone and shit.
That's terrible.
She took
just like Uhura. What was Uhura? She was just a space operator. That was obnoxious.
I don't think she ever fired a phaser. She could fix stuff, though.
Only if she had to.
But she could.
Only if Scotty wasn't there.
Didn't she take command once? Wasn't she in the captain's chair at least once?
I don't sure think
she was in the captain's chair while Kirk was there.
Oh, you know, now you're an asshole.
Not really.
Hey, wasn't them who had like the first interracial kiss on TV?
They did. It was a forced interracial kiss, but it was a kiss, and that was good enough for my parents. They were very happy about that.
It wasn't really forced.
Because if you look, they sort of lean around at an angle, so they don't really kiss. That's the secret of that.
Wait a minute.
They shot it both ways, and the one that you saw on TV, they're not really kissing.
And it was forced. They didn't do it because they wanted to kiss each other.
Well, they kind of did.
I think they did.
Yeah, they were engaged.
I think it was the one where basically, wasn't the evil one where she had to act a certain way, and it was like a we did it kind of congratulatory kind of kiss, though?
No.
Okay, then that was a different kiss that I saw.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
That had to have been another
Spock,
kiss.
Too.
What?
She put the moves on Spock once.
Did she?
Yeah, and she said, well, you know, how would you feel if we were out underneath on Vulcan under the moon?
Oh, like, yeah.
Vulcan has Uhura.
She's trying to get some romance out of him.
So in the new movie, there's actually a reason why Uhura and Spock were dating. I didn't understand that.
Oh, hey, and for all of us who haven't seen the movie yet, apparently...
Thanks, Beth.
That's not a big spoiler at all.
Yeah, it's not like telling them about how the bad guys are real. I mean, well, never mind.
That's all right. I expect it to be fully spoiled by the time I see it.
But you haven't
seen
it yet?
Yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
The name of their ship is the Enterprise. I'm sorry, I spoiled it.
NCC-1701.
Oh, Fash, no, you're spoiled sport. Jesus.
I haven't seen it yet, because every time we go, it's like, okay, we finally have money to go to the movies. Oh, wait, it's the weekend, we have the kids. Let's go see Up.
What, you can take the kids to see Star Trek?
Actually, it really depends.
What do you mean it depends?
If I haven't seen it yet, and it's, you know, not G-rated, I don't take the kids until I see it. Because sometimes
there's only one little racy scene
about things that bother them. It's not necessarily like it'll be really scary. I'm not worried about that.
There's a very cute redheaded green lady in there in her underwear and at one point
I totally don't worry about sex either. That's okay. Not my issue. My issue is that they become emotionally attached to certain characters, and then should they happen to die in a blaze of glory, I have to hug my daughter while she cries all night. I don't need that.
Well,
so
that's what a mom is for.
Maybe it depends on how well you get attached to these characters.
I don't know, but anyway.
Yeah, I'll watch it first. The best thing to do with movies that I'm not sure of is that we watch it together at home, because then if they're upset about it, we just turn it off and watch something else, and then they go to bed, and then we finish the movie. So I got the mom thing down. I'm here. It's good.
Whatever. any case, well, I don't think we can get wait, is she there?
You're going to call her back just to say goodbye.
She's back. Like,
hey, that'd be proper to say, Sarah?
Yes, hi.
Hi!
Sarah, thanks very much. Thanks very much for being on the show.
I'm so sorry. I don't know why, but the internet connection crashed like it never crashed before.
That's okay. But it is time to go. It is time to leave. That is all for the webcomic
weekend. Yeah, I just wanted to say goodbye.
Yep. No problem. We'll be going in order. It'll be Arn, David, and then yourself, which will be basically saying this is state your name and then from state your website.
All right.
We're going to start here in just a bit. This has been episode 82 of the Webcomic Beacon, multilingualizing your webcomic. This has been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of Betapone.com.
This is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
This is Arne from UnionOfHeroes.com.
This is David from SampanaOnline.com.
Sarah?
Did we lose? We lost. This was from LifeAintNoPonyFarm.com.
Okay, I'll see if I can get her back one more time.
That just blows.
Just get her on, have her say it, and patch it in. There was a nice pause.
Our own awesomeness is breaking the internet.
The timing of that. Okay, let me just... Please, let's connect.
I thought it was funny you sounded like the comic book guy. He did. He sounded like the comic book guy.
Did he?
Multilingualizing your comics.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, Sarah cannot be with us here today. That has been Sarah Bruni of LifeAintNoPonyFarm.com. Thanks for listening this week. Be sure to tune in next week when we talk about editorial webcomics.
Oh, is that what we're doing? Okay, cool.
Yay!
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Oh, boy. I mean, I was just about, you know, I think I'll get some sleep. And then it was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, crap.